America's national security mission has got to stay adaptable to the increasing complexity of threats. That means guarding against traditional risks and innovating to anticipate emerging ones. Technology can help, but it can also be difficult to navigate the IT solutions with shrinking budgets and a flood of data. Mark Testoni has some ideas on this. He's president and CEO of SAP National Security Services, and he joins me now with some advice on improving the mission as well as the business of national security. Mark, good morning. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, Tom. Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
All right. It seems like big data and cybersecurity are becoming more close in all of this. So, and there's the big data analytic approach to large data sets. That's kind of an intelligence issue. Then there's also the security issue of all of the data that networks are producing. So how do agencies navigate all of this?
Thanks for the question, Tom. You know, it's interesting. Historically, security we've looked at as kind of a signature approach to it. In other words, we built walls and we made sure you had credentials to get in. Unfortunately, people are getting through those credentialing systems fairly or more easily now, no matter what the system, both commercially, as we've seen with breaches at places like Target and Home Depot and others, and even in government. So, you know, we look at security now not only from the credentialing aspect, but we've got to look at it from the behavioral aspect. We've got to be able to assess what's going on inside our systems and on our networks to be able to detect. We can't rely on the traditional methods. And big data comes into play for two reasons. Obviously, one, as you mentioned, the value of assembling information to be able to analyze it, whether you're a business or government organization, is critically important. But also, because of the need to, in the security area, to be able to really look and monitor our networks, we have to use big data approaches to be able to look at streaming information, to be able to monitor what's going on and make sure we aren't actually being threatened in some way, shape, or form from the outside.
So is the problem with dealing with big data the one of the tools that are available out there, or is it the skills or imagination of people that are confronting big data and wondering, what do I ask of this pile in front of me?
Well, it's a little bit of it's a lot of things. I mean, it's a number of issues. It's a change management issue, and it's an understanding of the way data has changed. Historically, looked at big data as information we would assemble somewhere in a warehouse and work on it and analyze it. But much of that data was structured historically. In the last 10 to 15 years, we're now, the forms of data have changed and sizes of where and places where it comes from. For example, video, social media information, all these things now are part of the equation that we need to be able to bring together, and we have to bring it together faster, and we have to analyze it. So the private sector and government is responding to this by developing the tools, and it's an evolutionary process, both from a standpoint of training people to be able to do it and also employing these tools. But it's being done. We see it every day, for example, when we jump onto a website, and immediately we get advertising that's very much attached to our personal preferences. So the same things are happening in the government as well and in the private sector.
Now, one of your themes is that the pace of technology is very fast. You note that the iPhone 6 is the eighth generation of a product that's only 7 years old, whereas if you look at some of the important technological items that the government maintains, like the ICBM nuclear launch missiles, that's all controlled with 8-inch floppy disks or some crazy technology from yesteryear. So the question is, in general, does the federal government really have the technological infrastructure it needs to do what it says it wants to do?
Well, I think so. But we have to understand that even in the private sector, we deal with all sorts of generations of technology. And recall, if we go back to my childhood and beyond and earlier, much of 50 years ago or so, much of the innovation was driven by the government or facilitated by the government. Today, a lot of that is done in the private sector. You mentioned Apple, and there are many other examples. What we have to do a better job in government of is leveraging those commercial technologies back into the government. And there are some, you know, there are examples that's being done well. And that's the evolution that needs to take place. We have to be able to bring those skills that we and capabilities that are being built daily by small companies and large companies and bring them to bear inside the government.
Now, let's talk about a topic that's on a lot of governmental minds these days, and that is continuous monitoring and continuous diagnostics and mitigation of network threats, which implies kind of a real-time approach to what's going on in the networks. What do you see as the challenges to getting that done for agencies? Aside, well, money might be one of them, but what else?
Well, you know, there's policy issues around privacy. Frankly, the solutions in that area are emerging. A lot of small companies are developing pieces of these continuous monitoring kind of capabilities, and we have to be able to vet them and bring them to bear. But the policy issues around privacy are probably as critical as anything that have to be dealt with in this area. But I'm confident that, and we're working with customers that are looking very hard at this problem now. I'm confident that the government is going to be able to adapt and bring these things to bear.
I mean, could a shortcut for the government be to simply use services, your company and your competitors, kind of virtualize all of the technological infrastructure needed to understand networks and big data and so forth, so that the tools don't have to be operated directly by the government, but the analytics can be delivered as a service? Is that the trend, Tom?
That's a really good point. And the government's adapting to that as well. We absolutely offer those services can come from the private sector. It goes back to being able to drag those in. They can be delivered in a secure model. We're actually developing some of those capabilities delivered securely at SAP National Security Services, and others are as well. We also have, in parallel, we're working through the ability to do that on the business side, which contractually, how does the government get to providers to be able to do that? And as you know, in government, that's always often as important as bringing the technology to the front door. It's the next 50% of the problem is getting it in the door.
Now, your own company, SAP National Security Services, is part of the, I guess, a subsidiary of the larger SAP. And that's a company that's evolved as the nature of data and data systems has evolved. And so it's probably a good example of going from, you know, a proprietary solution that's long and difficult to implement to something that's much more nimble and based on big data and analytics more so than point-to-point wiring.
You're absolutely correct. That is the focus of the larger SAP. And, I mean, information that we are in, I'll probably say later this morning, in the last few years, we're entering the big bang of the information universe. And companies like SAP that historically have focused on processing transactions and bringing together information traditionally are now much more in the world of how do we, in high speed, deal with humongous volumes of data, various data formats, bringing them together very rapidly and providing predictive or information for people to take actions, whether they be related to security internally or to threats around the world or to their business.
And while we have you, I wanted to ask you about something you've gotten some publicity for a number of months back, and that is getting veterans into high-tech jobs. That's something you've concentrated on. Tell us what the latest is there.
Tom, thanks for asking about the VETS program. Obviously, we're in the national security space. We have customers in the defense and, intelligence world and many in the private sector. And veteran employment is a conundrum and an issue that we've tried to deal with and help. And that's an area that we're trying to give back in a way. And we established a program about a year ago to bring veterans in and really target it at the folks that don't have the degrees, don't have all the technical skills, bring all those great skills the military to bear. And we bring them in for about 11, 12 weeks and very intensively train them to become SAP consultants. And then we place them in jobs. And the first class graduated in May of this year, and we had 17 men and women from across all the services and reserve and active duty recent, and many of them have been in combat operations, and all 17 of them had job offers, and now we currently have another class of 20 going through. So we're excited about this. We'd love, your listeners or anyone else interested to give us a call and get involved. We're always looking for help, both in the placement and financially, and we're very excited about it. And more can be found on it at our website, which is NS2 serves.org.
So you're looking for people not necessarily that have IT or radio communications backgrounds, but you said combat service might give them kind of the basic skills you need, and you can teach them what they need to know specifically?
Absolutely, Tom. You know, obviously someone with IT background can certainly apply, but we had people in our first class that we had a tree cutter in West Virginia that had been in combat operations before he came back. We had some people that were jobless, a homeless person that was actually homeless. It's more about having the aptitude, whether they have the IT background. We can teach them. We can teach them. And it's the old story of companies and others, you know, instead of handing out fish, teaching people to fish, and they have a career and a job for a lifetime. And that's what we aspire to do here, and we'd love to have other companies involved with us as well.
All right, Mark Testoni is the president and CEO of SAP National Security Services. Thanks so much for joining us.
Tom, I really appreciate your time this morning. And just a quick note, we are having our Solutions Summit out in Fairview Park today. If anybody in the listener network would like to stop by, former Secretary Bob Gates is our keynote. We're welcome to join us.
Okay, we'll try to get out there.
Thanks,
and again, thanks for being with us.